Welcome.
Here we go.
Unedited.
Week two.
Take two.
We made it back.
We're here. Heights Unedited podcast, a podcast featuring real conversations about real life. How's that feel?
I don't know. I thought it was better last time.
I know. This is unedited podcast. We don't have the luxury of stopping.
Yeah.
Unless you don't start. David, and then you can cut it whenever. So this is.
Well, if you don't hit record, then. I guess it's not edited.
It didn't actually count.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, today we got a good show planned. We are going to dig deep into the weekend message as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. We got some good questions teed up, but I realized we forgot to do something last week.
What was that?
Introduce ourselves.
So, might be important.
Yeah, we'll do that this week. My name is Todd. I am one of the pastors here at Heights. And like always, I'm here with PJ.
No. We already decided. This is not a thing.
I just coined his new
It's
nickname.
Just John.
It's
just
Pastor John. Dad, PJ.
Just a dad. Just a follower of Jesus.
Before we circle back to that, because we're going to stick with PJ, I just needed to thank all of our viewers and listeners for coming back for week two. If this is your first time tuning into the show, thank you for being with us. Thank you.
The good news is they know who you are now.
Or listening. So, now they know. Last week they were confused.
Who are those guys?
Why are they talking?
Who are those guys?
Yeah.
Who gave them a mic?
YouTube or wherever you find your podcast is how we're billing it. To be honest.
What does that mean?
That's what I'm saying. To be honest.
Where do you go?
I'm a listener, first of all. So I don't like watching. Same. I like listening.
I'm Apple. I just go to Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Spotify?
Spotify is like the number two or number one?
I can see that.
Number one? Number two.
He doesn't know. He's putting up a one and a two.
Well,
we're just happy you hit record.
We're happy we're recording right now. It is on Spotify. It is on Apple Podcasts. So wherever you get your podcasts. Here's what we'd like you to do, though. Please follow on there. I was going to say subscribe, but I realized it actually is a follow button. So follow us on Apple Podcasts.
Unless
you're on YouTube, maybe it's a subscribe there. There it is. Subscribe or follow. And then also, if you could rate us, that helps us.
Oh, there it is.
I know, I'm nervous to say
only
that.
Only 5 stars.
Yeah, but if you only give us a good stars. Rating, we will read your rating here. You can leave a comment, a little rating, what you enjoy about the show.
Okay, so how does ratings PJ? Work? How do ratings work?
Stars. You give us 5 stars is what I would suggest for so them
if
to
you,
rate us.
But I mean, if you get more ratings, this
more
goes
ratings.
Further.
Yeah, it goes
so
further.
So essentially, you're helping.
Exactly. You're going to help us. Get the word out because we'll move up the ranks of the podcast and on the list and easier to find when
you search
us.
Which that's really important.
That kind of
we're fighting for that. So
we are. You know, that's a big deal here. That's what we're all about.
A big dream.
So, hey, we made it though.
We made it.
Week two.
Made it. We came back.
We're still going to do this thing?
I guess.
All right. Well, here we are.
I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. How are you doing?
How am I doing? That's a big question, man. You're asking an Enneagram 4, how an Enneagram 4 is doing. Like, how far down that rabbit hole
do
you? I'm doing good. Doing good. Waiting on my daughter's under a month away from having a baby.
Yeah.
So super exciting.
So any time now, basically.
Anytime now.
Yep.
And then next weekend, I was supposed to be gone, but we ended up, because of the baby, we were supposed to go to F1 again.
Oh, man.
But with Rylan being as pregnant, there's no way she could do it. So we sold our tickets and we'll be here. So doing good.
That's good. You're here.
Yeah.
Yep. You're winning.
Baby's
again.
Better than F1. So
yeah, baby's better than F1. That's good. Good. Make sure Rylan's
got my priorities right.
Now. Make sure she heard that. That's good. Fantasy
How are you
football
doing?
Update. We're not going to do sports again this week.
Okay.
Fantasy football update still has to happen. Pastor Ben is crushing it again this week. I'm in a real tight matchup, but when I texted him to tell him like, hey, good job. His only response was, but John's winning too. So he's still, you know, he's watching.
Well, he's a game behind
them. And I know that's why.
Yeah. Dak Prescott almost got me, but we can't do sports. So
yeah, no more sports. But we're done with
how
that.
How are you? You were away.
I'm good. We were away. Went to visit my in-laws in Washington. Great time being with them. Kids had a great time. Great time. Best time for me was not making decisions and not having to pick up kids in our chaotic life.
I totally get that.
The closest family we have is hundreds of miles away. So we're always on the move with our kids and picking them up from here and there and remembering like, oh, did I forget a kid somewhere? And
it's
all
like
that.
Home alone.
So I didn't have to think about that for a few days and it was nice. The airport coming back those of anybody listening or watching in Seattle, you guys are awesome. Your airport is terrible. I just need you to know. It was
I guess I've been in Seattle airport, man, long time ago.
It was rough.
My brother got married there.
We're here. We're home. We're good.
How is it traveling with that many kids?
You know what? Honestly, the kids are really good. The kids
are good travelers.
Yeah, they're really good. Game changer for us is we've always traveled with little kids and they've been fine. But we brought the car seat and strapped the kid into the car seat. And so she wasn't crawling from one person to the next, going across the aisle, any of that. Like she was just, all right, well, this is where I'm supposed to be. And made our trip so much easier.
And there's a belt that locks.
Yep. There she is. Yep.
That's
game
awesome.
Changer.
That's good.
You think we would have figured it out sooner until our fifth kid took us, but
you get there eventually.
We did it. We made it.
You get there.
All right. Well, let's hop into the weekend. We want to recap this last weekend. If you did not get a chance to watch weekend's message, highly encourage that. We had Pastor Jay from Japan with us, a missionary in Japan. Absolutely mind blowing to me how many churches Jay has planted or his team has planted in Japan.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. And it's crazy too when you ask him about it, it's not like, oh, Todd decided that he wanted to become a church planter. Like these are legit teams that they've raised up.
Right.
The last one that went out, I think had 7. The one that's going out now has 5.
Wow.
And then I asked him like, well, are they from that area? Cause it's one thing if, you know, they've come, get trained, go back. He's like, no, they're reaching out to just establish a church in these cities. Yeah. It's crazy.
Incredible.
It's unreal.
And when he first put the map up for that, I'm looking at the map and I'm going, like he put just the first city that they planted a church in. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of other names there. Is he going to get to that or what's going to happen? But my mind instantly was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
That's so many churches that he's planted.
So many churches.
And just
out of one church.
Incredible.
Like that's what's mind blowing with it is, and then the autonomy that's, they're all connected, but the autonomy to the team is, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
I love to see what God is doing in other places in the world. I love hearing people's stories of just what God has done in their life, but I sometimes get so focused on what God is doing just within our church or my buddies that are pastors, at their church and, you know, 100 miles away or whatever, Japan.
Yeah.
Other side of the world.
Well, and I love that we went from DR last week, Dominican Republic last week, and now Japan this week. And culturally, like even through the weekend, it just felt so different. Like like Jay has that, we've been talking about frequencies. Jay has that professor frequency versus obviously the DR was such a different feeling with Nelson and Pastor Alessandro. And so even that was just fascinating. If you can see why God has these people in the culture that they're in. You look at Jay and you go, man, you match so well into the Japanese culture in a beautiful way.
Right. Yeah, just super cool to see what God is doing and just the massive mind-blowing impact that he's had. And here's what it reminds me of. I don't know if it's a quote or just people have said it enough to where I've heard it. Like if it's from God, it can't be stopped.
Uh-huh.
And it feels that way with his movement right now. It's like, man, there's no other choice than it's from God.
Yeah.
The way we get that quote is in Acts chapter 5. What's happening is one of the one times that the religious leaders say something worth quoting. Right? Like you're like, wow, they actually got this right. Because this movement of Jesus is spreading. And so they want to squash it. And they bring in the beginning of Acts is when the church is spreading and all that's happening. They bring in these apostles that are spreading it. And they're like, we need to kill him. And he steps in and he says,
when it's in their own meeting, right? Like
it's in their own meeting. They're like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
He goes, can I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. And
it's so good.
And obviously we have the story. It was from God and it moved. But I think of what Jay's doing in Japan. That is a movement that is from God.
Yeah, and what I caught this weekend, I don't know where you listened to it because obviously you were traveling.
I was in the Seattle airport, sitting in SeaTac on my phone watching live along with a lot of
that's
our
amazing.
Online fam. And right.
Dude, the online community is so good for moments like that. Like, so what hit me this weekend with him was the belief in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That if you just share the gospel and you're faithful to share the gospel with, and then he had such like clarity to it of what they're doing in Japan with it.
Right.
it just, to me, it was this beautiful thing. Back to your thing, if it can't be stopped, like it's what, I think it's what you're putting out as well, right? Like, so for him, he's putting the gospel message just purely Book of Acts style, right? Right. You look at the Book of Acts and they just say the same thing over and over.
Well, the Bible says his word's not going to return void.
Right.
So they're leading out front with the gospel. Right. They're leading out front.
With a holy confidence that, right. that and a courage of this is enough.
So here's my question. In our life, how do we know it is from God? Because if it can't be stopped, right? And he's got the vision that he had and he's rolling with it. And obviously it's from God with the just amazing blessing that he's seen there. For us in our life, how do we know it is from God?
That's a good question. I think where my brain goes for me is back to, this might be too simplistic, but back to we're in center of all things. Mm-hmm. And I think what you see in the Book of Acts and what you see in scripture is what's not stopped is the message of Jesus in all the contexts that it goes to, right? So whether that's in Ephesus, Galatia, whatever it happens to be, in that context, people that are living it out, it's not, it just keeps going forward. It's exponential, right? And so I think when it comes to the it, I think it's the gospel going from us to whatever setting, right? And so that doesn't have to be in a church setting. It doesn't mean you've got to be a church planner. But I think in the context of, okay, if I go to my family, that when I put Jesus the center of my family, it's not going to be stopped. Right. Like it's not going to return, like to your words, it's not going to return void.
Right.
And I think, so for me, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I also would just say, I don't think that's saying it's without hurdles or without difficulties or all that. Yeah. I'm sure
they were getting flogged.
Yeah. Well, right? In the early church, for sure. Yeah. There's definitely like, we're not going to stop this with killing you, but we're definitely going to try to beat it out of you, you know,
and tell you not to do it again.
Yeah. Please don't do this again. And they went right back to it, but I'm sure Jay could sit down and share so many hurdles that they've had, but then they see God showing up in big ways and the blessings in that as well. But I would say if it aligns with scripture and with God's will, because I think sometimes we try to insert ourselves into that and say, well, this is what God has sent me to do. Well, if what God has sent you to do doesn't align with his word, then he probably didn't send you to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you look at to your point with the church there in Japan, and as Jay's gone through different seasons, I think even just getting a building, right, was proof that God's opening doors in supernatural ways, that he's bringing this business guy along that goes, hey, I need a space. You need a space. Let's do this for the gospel.
And Jay didn't say numbers or anything, but knowing the price of what, you can look up what the price of real estate in Tokyo is.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It's huge. It's absolutely wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you said it too, the confidence that they are pursuing this mission that God has given them with, how do we have that type of grit and persistence and confidence knowing that God is on our side? So if that mission can't be stopped and God's on our side, like that's not just like a in the back of the mind kind of knowledge. Like that's something you push forward. Like how do we have that type of grit and persistence?
I think, I mean, it comes out, I don't know. It comes out of, to me, like I'm trying to put it practical, right? Because there's philosophically, you can go into, well, it's how connected you are to Jesus, right? And what that looks like.
Right.
And I think for me, what gets me up in the morning and what gives me courage to keep doing what we do, even on days where it's not easy, is it really does come back to, do I believe this, right? Do I really believe the gospel?
Yep.
Do I really believe that people need to meet, know, love Jesus? And if that's it, or maybe you even step back further and go to calling, right? Like, do I really believe that what I'm in right now is what God's called me to?
Yeah.
Because for me, calling is such a huge, huge deal for me that if God hasn't called me here, then I'm out. Like it's not going to last.
Just
it's too
waste of time,
it's too hard, right? Yeah. Like on the hard days. Or I remember, I probably said this before, but when we first moved here, one of my first meetings, so I never been a pastor before, come to Heights, which is, you know, larger church. Land here as a middle school guy going, what in the world did I get into? One of the guys who is a youth leader and respected, highly respected men's ministry lead in the church, he goes, hey, I want to do lunch with you. So he takes me out, sits me down. I can remember the booth we were sitting in. That's how much it marked me. And so we're sitting at lunch and he goes, hey man, I just want you to know the enemy's coming for your family. You said yes to this, the enemy will come after your family.
Y'all think so.
Yeah, and at the time, I'm like, sweet. I mean, I come in like a puppy dog, right? Like, this is going to be great. And you sit down and you're like, wait, what? And he's like, the stakes are really high.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, watching what's happened over the years and looking at all this stuff, and you go, man, I wouldn't get up and put my shoes on if I wasn't absolutely convinced that God has called me here and the gospel is the gospel.
Right.
You know, outside of that, it's like, man, let's go start a marketing company. Let's go do something completely different.
Right.
And if God calls me that, great. But I don't know. I think it's a challenge, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, back to what you were saying is like, you know, we try to convince people that we hire on staff here to not, I do at least when I'm interviewing them, try to convince people to not be on staff and be like, you know, how bad do you want this? Because if it's just a job, it's not going to last.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it. Is it a calling?
Yeah.
That's where it gets to. And then I think pursuing any call that God has on your life is having the confidence of knowing God's going ahead of me.
Yeah.
But it's putting faith to action. There's an action piece of it.
Yep.
I just got done. I had breakfast right before this with a guy that I'm discipling, and he's a student at Embry-Riddle. And
we're
talking through this exact concept of believing is one thing, but actually living it is different.
Yeah.
The Bible says the demons believe.
Yeah.
And so a belief or just like a loose association with Jesus or with religion is not enough. But to have that true conviction that moves you to action, I think that's how you walk in this grit and persistence and assurance, knowing like, man, I'm following what God's called and this ain't going to stop. Like, it's going. I'm going to hit some roadblocks, but I'm willing to push through those roadblocks to see what God's going to do.
Yep. And I love that God, I was just chatting with somebody this morning, and somebody's processing a really big decision, right? And as they're processing that decision, other options are showing up. Mm-hmm. And I love that God like doesn't stop the other options showing up, right? Because there's such, and on the phone, I told who I was talking to, I go, you know, depending on what they choose, either way is going to anchor them for whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often we get into, well, this is my career, right? Like I went to school for this, it's my career. And it's not until something happens that you stop and go, man, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or you get into it and you watch people that, like you said, they take it because it's a job, and whether that's a church or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets hard or it gets difficult or someone's chosen over them, or like all of a sudden that's where it becomes hard to stick it out.
Right. Yeah. And I think especially in the work world of just providing for my family, just status quo or whatever.
Yeah.
2020 was such a big shakeup year for people to go, man, I just don't love this. Like I want to move to something else. I had a friend of mine who was an actually incredible kids pastor and really, really good at it. And I've called him and been like, hey, come to Heights a few times now.
Yeah.
During 2020, he still loves Jesus, still follows Jesus, decided he's always wanted to be a chef. And he stepped back and he's a chef.
Awesome.
And he,
that's awesome.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
But that shakeup time does it. I think that we need to build those rhythms into our life to stop and go, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like shaking up. Okay. Yes. This is my career. Yes. This is what I'm doing. But am I following God's call in my life, or have I just limited it to what I've always done?
Yeah. And I think it goes back to the gospel centric, right? So if Jesus is center of all things and he's center of my life, then I can step into being a chef because I'm following how God's made me, the passions he's given me, the desires, the calling, but I can step in and be a chef with Jesus at the center.
Correct.
I think that's the whole kind of drive that you see in the early church. Like obviously that's following the early church, but there's so many people along the journey of the early church that are support to what's happening. They're working a job. And in that job going, hey, my business is flourishing and I want to help build the kingdom of God. And so I'll be the space that opens up for the church to meet. I'll be the people that support. I mean, you look at Jesus. Jesus had these ladies in the background that were all funding his ministry.
Right.
You know, and we don't often talk about that, but it goes back to like, what am I doing? And am I, one, am I called to it? But is Jesus the center of it? And back to your original question, I think that's where the it comes from, right? Like, I think you can stick it out if those things are in place, but it won't be stopped either.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Dude, fired me up on the weekend just hearing what he's doing, but the message itself centered around this idea of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And what reconciliation is another mind-blowing thing. Yeah. This is incredible. I wanted to kind of tee you up to
do the folder thing.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
I told Jay, yeah. I'm like, Jay, it's such a simple but so profound.
Yes, so solid. Good. Such a good visual reminder for it. But I want to tee you up to kind of get fired up, get a little preachy on this one. But okay. Reconciliation, what it is.
I'm going to throw it back to you because you're fired up.
I know. I always am. Reconciliation is the restoration of a relationship to a harmonious state after a dispute, after brokenness, after dispute, all of that. So why is this good news for us? How can this knowledge help us live out our faith?
How is it not good news, right? Like, exactly. So if God is God, creator, and I have a dispute with the creator, right? Which is what sin has caused, right?
Yeah.
So sin has busted that wide open. And I have this ongoing dispute, and I love it. Back to the file thing. My file is so huge.
Right. And it disputes, it's contrary to what people think. Oh, me and God, we're good.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're good. I have a few things, right? Yeah. Yeah. And you realize, and I think that's the thing with sin, right? You realize it's one. Mm-hmm. One thing causes a dispute, right? Mm-hmm. Like same in any relationship. If you have one thing between you, then it's not harmonious. Mm-hmm. And so with God, it makes sense, like in the relational sense, that you go, okay, this is broken, but the step of the gospel, like we can't fix it.
Right.
So it's not like I can go and, hey, I'm really, really sorry. Yeah. Like that doesn't cover it. It's got to be removed. It's got to be taken out, and there has to be reconciliation. And so I think what's amazing with what Jay was sharing this weekend, when you see, you know, this is me removed from the file and all of that handed to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what's handed back is perfection. Like, man,
dude, it's so
overwhelming.
Good. It's so overwhelming. Good. It's such good news. And I think that the continued good news is it's not a one and done, and then I can mess up again and mess up that relationship.
Right.
Man, you've been reconciled,
right,
which means that you will mess up again,
but which is a completed action
in the Savior's arms.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation with somebody just recently about this. Is like, man, every time I mess up, I feel like I've like broken something when it comes to my relationship with God. And yes, there's a point of, God, I repent of this.
Yeah.
But you are never removed from Jesus. Once you've been reconciled to him once and for all, you are wrapped in the Savior's arm. And yes, you can mess up. Yes, you can sin. Yes, you can do those things. But man, God he's got you.
Yeah. Did you grow up church background where, like for me, it was, you're always relationally repairing, and it's exhausting, right? So it's always the confess your sins, and confession is a vital part. Don't mishear that. But what's interesting is it's more focused on what I'm doing to mend the relationship than going back to what you just said of this is who I am. And so I've moved off of who I am, and I am now living in a space that's not true. Right. And so it's coming back to that reconciled, completed, this is who I am. I am reconciled to God forever. Right. And somewhere it gets lost.
That's a revolutionary thought for me because I've wired in such a way to earn and to gain and to achieve. Yep. And so for me, that knowledge was so revolutionary because I always, again, church background and just how I'm designed and wired is, I wanted to, when I messed up, when I sinned, I immediately said, well, now I gotta fix it by doing the right things. And it became very much a checks and balances and earning and doing.
Yeah.
And so contrary to the gospel that I would also tell you and quote the right verses to you, but I didn't live in that way because my brain was wired to always be almost making like penance for myself or whatever, you know?
Because the fear is, right? It's so fear motivated. That if you can stay in that work state and I can keep you there by fear, then you're going to keep being, I don't know, good Christian, right? Like you're going to keep working your faith, so to speak. The fear is, if you realize it's all done and I just come back to that. So an example would be forgiveness, right? That a lot of people are like, well, you gotta ask God for forgiveness. Well, no, that's not the gospel. The gospel is you have been forgiven. So when I come back to God, it's thanking him for the forgiveness,
right?
Because that file is already empty.
Oh, there he goes.
Right?
Like, now he's getting fired up.
You know what I mean? and yet so often it flips to what can I do? Mm-hmm. How can I go to work? And yeah, there's a piece of it. Like we've got to walk with God. But I think when we get off the foundation of who we are, then it's just shaky.
Yep. But. Yep. That's good. All right. Well, reconciled to reconcile. We'll get there in a second. Yeah. We're going to come back to that. So good this weekend. Again, if you haven't watched it, go back, watch this weekend's message. It'll frame you up for your life. It'll help you. It'll amazing. Be good.
It was so good.
But we do have some questions submitted. If you have a question, it doesn't just have to be out the weekend, life, anything you have a question on, culture, faith, we want to answer that. Email us unedited@heightschurch.com.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah, you can email it right now.
All right.
Yeah, you could submit a question.
I mean, it just might.
Yeah, you might. That now, if there's a weird one, you know where it came from. Now we know.
This question is by PJ.
Here we go. You signed PJ. There it is. See, he's now referring to himself with it. We've got some traction.
It's not happening.
Question from Jessica coming in. It's the time of the year. Here it is. She said, as a Christian, is it wrong to celebrate Halloween?
Ooh.
I know.
Depends who you ask.
Depends who you ask.
Depends who you ask. I grew up in a family where my kids still have a memory of one Halloween. I don't know what Cindy and I were doing, but they stayed with my parents and they weren't allowed to trick or treat. And my kids still to this day, I mean, they were, I don't know, third grade and first grade maybe, and they're still scarred.
They're scarred from it.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, I think it's one that it's interesting when you talked up top about what is this podcast? Well, it also includes culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the culture we live inside of, this is something that our town celebrates. I see more church people on Mount Vernon.
Right.
And so I think for me, like, is it wrong? Is it right? I think you got to walk that one out for yourself. But I also think I'll be out there on the street. My kids will be dressed up. And it's a community event. That doesn't mean I support everything that happens on Halloween.
Right.
Right. Like my kids are dressed up in their favorite costume, like characters. It's not this dark, sinister for them. It's this fun family activity that they look forward to.
Yeah. And that's where I would say, I'm sure Jessica's referring to it as celebrate with your kids to go get candy and that kind of thing. But I would, to answer the question, I would just say, what is celebrate? Let's define what celebrate Halloween is. Cause if it's just doing fun stuff and dressing up with your kids or your kids dressing up, like, no, nothing wrong. If it's demonic or whatever, yes, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
That is a real problem. Yeah. If you're messing with the demonic realm or you're doing something that is evil or you're doing things that are even damaging property or whatever you think, you know, what is celebrate to you? Cause if celebrate is just, hey, we're going to have fun on this day.
Yeah.
That's really meant to have fun. That's where I would say.
I think if you've been to Mount Vernon, it's such a community builder.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really is one of these special things for our town. And so I think too, you got to be sensitive to who you're with. So for example, if I was going to my parents on Halloween and staying, like if we were staying there, I'm not going to make them buy candy and open their door. And like, it's just not appropriate for what they believe that to be. And so I think you got to be sensitive to who you're, like what you're, situation is, but as far as is it wrong, I don't know. It makes me laugh. I don't know. I'm so sinister about the whole like, hey, we should have a whole harvest festival. Nothing wrong with harvest festivals, but if I'm doing that so that it doesn't have the tag of Halloween, I still haven't answered the question, right? You've got to go answer the question.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the response that a lot of people would give on the other end of it is, but what the day stands for historically and all that. Well, I think a lot of times we don't understand the history of it
yeah.
In itself. It really just started as a festival to begin the harvest that they'd been working for, end of the summer days into the darker days where there's less sunlight, all of that. That's where it kind of started as a Celtic thing. It was repurposed, in which all days have changed so much over history.
And by culture.
Yeah, by culture. By culture. It started as that. Then it turned into All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
Because it was All Saints Day.
Yep.
The Catholic Church decided All Saints Day was going to be celebrated on November 1st. And so the Eve before it, All Hallows Eve.
That's so
and
wild.
So that's how it started. And people would dress up and that's where it began. So it actually, there's been multiple evolution of this day, if you will. And that's where I would say there's probably some stuff in the past where you would go, this is not appropriate and not okay. But the day in itself, do some use it as bad? Sure. But for most of us, it's just an excuse for fun.
I was telling Cindy, it's my least favorite time of the year for TV. Because everything is just
that part
dark.
That part is rough. Whatever,
and so it's like this love hate with I literally was just telling her this. I hate this time of year. I can't wait to get past Halloween from a TV perspective because all the kids' stuff, you're always fighting, right? You're always trying to guard them against whatever, right?
Just watching sports, my kids know when they walk in, they go, can we look?
Yeah, that's totally, that's my kids. I'm watching football and I'm like, close your eyes. You know what I mean? Where's the remote?
You're going to give me nightmares. And
you're trying to protect them. So there's this part of it where it's I don't like that part. But if we're talking about celebrating, like you're saying, the actual day of watching my kids filled with joy because they got to wear this costume, they got to wear it at school, they get to go up and have strangers give them all kinds of candy. Like we get to see people along the way, we get to hang with community. That's all a win. The other stuff,
use your discretion. Jessica, I would say if you want to have fun with your kids, have fun with your kids. If you feel like you're uncomfortable with anything, that's also your decision. Yep. Don't be.
And I know some people who are strong believers that love Halloween.
Yeah.
That's just their favorite time of year and decorating and all of that. And it's knock yourself out. That's your jam.
There you go. All right, Jessica, hopefully that answered your question. Others of you that maybe disagree, it's pj@heightschurch.com. Yeah.
And this is unedited, so there we go.
There it is.
Oh, man.
Okay, something else that happens in October, a little less known than Halloween, but we did get a question about it from Derek. Derek asks, he says, October is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Derek your best friend?
Derek's my best friend. Pastor Appreciation Month, if you didn't know that, it is
Pastor
true.
Pastor Appreciation Month.
And he said, what can we as the church do to support our pastors? Before we get into answering this, I think it's quite funny that what people think is the right thing to do with pastors. So I actually found an article online that was 10 things.
What?
Some of them were actually okay. Here's two of the worst ones that you should not do. Pastor Appreciation Month. This is literally one of the points in the article that I found. Place an ad. Local newspapers or radio stations can be an excellent place to publicly honor your pastoral staff.
What?
Yeah, can you imagine if you're driving down the road and you saw a billboard with your face on it? Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So good.
I know. So don't do that. That's what we would say don't do, is don't place an ad.
It reminds me, okay, this is a total side. This is a rabbit trail. I'm watching something the other day and there's a dad. So all the middle school lingo that doesn't make sense, right?
They speak a different language.
Like skibbity toilet and how riz, all that stuff. So there's a dad.
You just confused a lot of people right now.
Yeah, well, they can look it up, right? So he takes a picture, a selfie of him and his daughters and puts it on a billboard.
Oh my gosh.
But he writes this whole thing about them using just middle school slang.
Oh my gosh.
And he's just walking them down the street and he goes, oh, what is that? And they're just dying. So yeah, if you decide to get a billboard and put Todd's face on it, then some of your favorite sermon quotes, we'll just put them right up there, man.
Middle school slang like that. That'd be awesome.
Skibbity toilet
another
preacher.
Another one was this. This one is my favorite for what you shouldn't do. This is so funny. They said, hold a text event and they defined it as this.
What?
Your congregation can shock your preacher with a text event. Ask all church members to send a text, a quick thank you message to your pastor's number all at the same time on a particular day.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no.
If everyone had your number? No. Okay, so you can text. No,
I didn't even know a text right event was a thing. Like, let me, oh man, let me catch flash up with that first.
David, our producer, can you please send out an email to all church with Pastor John's yeah. text personal phone number so that we can.
That's a hard no.
Oh, can you imagine if you just randomly got, you know, 2,500 texts?
I mean, it kind of feels that way right now. Like, all I get is political texts right now.
That's
like,
true.
Five or six
spam.
A day.
Those are your, like, church text event. Yep. Don't do that. That's not what we should do with that. Yeah. But back to the original question. Pastor Appreciation Month. Is there something that the church can do to support our pastors?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's fair to ask pastors that.
I know.
It'd be fun to have. You know who would be fun to have? Miss Patty has done this for me for since I've known her, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, she just, I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't know Pastor Appreciation Month was a thing, but she'll give me often a card and just a coffee, like Starbucks, buy yourself coffee type mm-hmm. thing, which is just super fun. Like, totally unexpected. Right. Didn't even know it was a thing. And this thing shows up. And so I feel like she would have way better ideas than I will. But I actually think, I think it's an amazing way to look at the people you consider your pastor. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there's the formal, like, hey, we're in the role, we're doing the grind. I also think, like, in the context of our church, it may be your life group leaders because yeah. they pastor you through and they're doing their role. Right. And so I think it could be a really beautiful, like, who's shepherding you? And then honoring them with something that's appropriate. And if you know them, then honoring them in a way that, which text event is not a way to honor me. No, right. Yep. Like, but for somebody else, it may be appropriate. Like, for your life group leader, this may be something that's really life-giving to them because of yeah. words of affirmation. So I would say, who is it that's shepherding you? And then on top of that, what do they love? What would speak love to them and appreciation? And then just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say two things. One is just considering the pastoral staff when your daily prayers,
yeah,
you know, when you're yeah. praying, when you're just
that's way more spiritual than what I came up with.
I know you're just not quite there yet.
Someone's more spiritual.
Someday you'll be on my level. I would just say, like, I think a lot of times we forget
yeah.
the burden that a lot of the people in ministry carry. Yep. And yep. again, it is hard to talk about when you're the pastor, but, like, I think that praying for people that are in ministry and having it be a conscious thought of yours,
yep.
Specifically in this month, I think is a good way to just show appreciation, even if we don't know it. Our church yeah. really does take great care of me. I am yeah. supplied with Reese's from yeah. our church
it's
all
amazing.
The time. I'm getting Reese's. It's great. It's awesome. The other thing I would say is, like you were saying, John, is there's a lot of people that are in that shepherding role, yeah. honoring them, honoring the shepherd or pastor that you know specifically. Yeah. One of the things that really irritates me is when people will skip people that are in their life in front of them, yep. Pastor Austin or Pastor Jordan,
yep.
Pastor
yep.
Ben, Pastor
yep.
Earl.
Yep.
If they're the yep. ones that are ministering to you directly yep. or to your kids directly, yep. honor them. Don't just come yep. and give something yep. to Pastor John yep. or to me or to somebody yep. that you see maybe up front more frequently. Yep. Like, honor yep. the pastors in your life, honor the shepherds. Maybe it is a life group leader and not somebody who's on our pastoral staff.
Yep.
But, don't skip the people that are in front of you
yeah.
to get to.
And I think that's the point, right? It's to say, I see you.
Right.
I see the effort you put in. I see the grind. And so with that, I agree with you. Like, who are the people in closest proximity? Love them.
Right.
Right. Like, don't just, because it says pastor, we go by title or we go by, all right, well, that's got to be John. No, like, who is it that you look at and you go, they are shepherding me.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. So, Derek, hopefully that answers your question. You could also always give me 49er tickets. I do appreciate those as well.
that's a great way to appreciate Todd.
There we go.
Speaking love perfect. Language. Or a jersey.
That works too. No, actually, been taken care of by many people in the church.
It cracks me up. So many times I see you walk in and you're carrying a jersey. I'm like, what'd you get this time?
I know. Eric hooking it up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, thank you guys so much again for listening. As we wrap up today, one final thought or question for you. Jay spoke about it on the weekend. He said, we are reconciled to reconcile.
Yeah.
What can we do this week to help others be reconciled, right? Because if we've been reconciled to then in turn help others be reconciled, what does that look like? What can we do?
Yeah, I think he nailed it so well. I think the whole idea of how I actually tell the good news. Mm-hmm. And so who in your life needs good news this week? I think he did well with the wrap up where he's like, who are you praying for? And so I think that's so tangible of, I think they're connected, that if I'm praying for this person, I'm also going to see the opportunities for the good news. And so I think that's super tangible. I think one of the ways as you're praying for them is move closer and how can I help and show Jesus to you? I think that's another way of doing it. And then I love the second question that he had of what are you praying for your community? Mm-hmm. And so just having eyes for what does reconciliation look like? What does it look like to take what I've been given and give it away?
Yep. Yep. That's good. All right. You guys made it. If you made it
made
to
it.
The end of the podcast the club, you're the end of the podcast end. Club. We still don't know what
so,
they
so
get.
So here's my question. So somebody told me it felt like a hospital, right? Because last week we were really white.
Well, it was just tan everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, if you're watching.
We both wore tan. You didn't think it through too well.
Yeah.
So what is, like, are we still in process? What is this?
I don't even know.
We don't even know? You just got to come back next week. We'll find out. Come back. I mean, we have these this week.
Yeah,
this
we made neat. It. Yeah, if you're watching, you know, we have nice little microphone arms.
Last week we were like them. This.
Yeah, we couldn't move. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I felt like, you know, in Talladega Nights, he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands right now. There we go. See, you make it into the podcast club and you get to hear stuff like this. Yeah, it's good stuff. But I do want to thank everyone for watching, listening, being a part of it. I do want to remind you, please follow, subscribe, rate, review, and share. There you go. Isn't that what you're supposed to say?
Well, I guess. I guess. It sounded good.
No, but it does help us. Sounds good.
We'll leave it all in because this is unedited.
It's unedited except for the two take, which that's...
Well,
yeah.
I guess if you don't have anything to edit, you can't edit. So
yeah, well, we didn't edit. We just started. And I was sharing a story with you. We can share at another point.
Dude, that story is...
The time I had two takes of something.
Yes.
All right. Love you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast episode and we'll be back next week. Same time, same place.
Bye, y'all.